Welcome back to Breakthrough, Waking Up to the Real You. I am your host, Alejandra Vivanco. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today, it is going to be the last episode of The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. If you want to get the book, go ahead and get it. It's a very quick read. It's a very easy read. And it kind of puts together every single thing we've been talking about for the past what's going to be now. It's going to 2020, 2024, 4 years. And again, the reason why I choose these books is because it's going to be different people that will listen to the message. And depending on what you align with or what resonates with you, what you can relate to, will open up a little bit your eyes to the healing journey and all the good stuff we've been talking about. So I think that The Four Agreements, it's a great book that it's going to come before Jordan Peterson. I think that it summarizes everything. And I think that you can take it as you wish, but I do believe that it kind of lays the foundation for us taking responsibility for our lives and stop being the victims of our lives and stop blaming other people for what happened to us. It doesn't mean that you don't acknowledge your experience and live in the awareness of what happened. It just means that you understand and realize that you are the only one who has the power to change your life. Nobody's coming to rescue you. Those are the facts. Nobody's coming to rescue you. Nobody can. And most of the time, nobody will. Because we would have to assume that somebody knows what needs to be done for us to be completely rescued. Before we get into the last couple of chapters from the book, remember to subscribe and share this podcast. Remember that we have a bunch of books that I've been doing for over a year now, so just go check them out. Also, follow me on Instagram at alevivanco29 for more content. And if you have any questions or comments, just let me know on my Instagram. Again, that's at alevivanco29. Okay, so the last couple of chapters, basically, they are just a summary of kind of like the sentiment of the book. Again, let's go over the four agreements so that we are aware of what we are talking about. So it's be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions and always do your best. And we've been talking about these. So go back and listen to the other episodes so that you don't begin to make assumptions of what they actually mean, and you kind of begin to open up a little bit to what the messages are. So here he says, who stops us from being free? We blame the government, we blame the weather, we blame our parents, we blame religion, we blame God. Who really stops us from being free? We stop ourselves. And that is something that I realized when the Trump thing happened, how everybody just gave up on their lives. You know, everybody obviously that was, even for or against, it doesn't really matter. Everybody gave this man so much power over their emotional well-being that it just didn't matter what was said or what was done. It was about blaming everybody. Oh, now he's doing this, he's doing that. And celebrities and people who had, you know, who had the blue check marks, they were perpetuating the bullshit. Again, it doesn't mean that we are not informed about if you're interested in politics, but you have to realize that regardless of what happens, there are certain actions you can take. You already voted. You did what you had to do. If you want to really create change, you have to look at this, representatives and get involved. And so there are steps you can take instead of just being, you know, Twitter fingers all the time and just engaging in online disputes for the sake of feeling like you're doing something. That's why I never understood the big conflict this man hijacked, because people wanted that, hijacked people's lives for 4 years and then some, because people are still talking about him. And there's this idea that once he's in jail, like, everything's going to be better. People are still talking about him, and he's not the president. So why is that? It's not about him. Probably what he represents to you in your life, but it's not about him. It's about you. And to sit here and just look at the people that the country elected and just be so involved in talking about it like it's the end of the world, again, back when I was in college, one of my aunts said, oh, if he, said candidate, gets elected, I'm leaving the country. He got elected, and she's still living in that country. I'm talking about my own country, home country. So put your money where your mouth is. Leave. Get out. Don't say what you're going to do. Do what you're going to do. It's about us feeling like a victim and trying to make ourselves feel better. It's not like the candidate or the people that voted for him are going to listen to you or say, oh, you're going to leave the country. Oh, okay, cool. So let's vote for the other candidate. Stop. We are very childlike, and we throw tantrums constantly because we don't get what we want. We need to accept what it is, or people saying, oh, he's not my president. Oh, God. Does that make you feel better? Okay. You big boy and girl. Okay. We are the only ones who are doing this. Trump is not going to your house, or Biden is not going to your house, or Kamala is not going to your house saying, hey, you need to stop living your life because I'm here now, bitch. They're not doing that. They don't even know who you are. Even if you're for or against, it doesn't really matter. The same as celebrities. Beyonce is not going to your house and thanking you personally for starting an online feud because somebody said something about her hair. Stop. Nicki Minaj is not going and giving you money because you are, you know, a Barb. Stop. I love pop culture. But that's the thing. We let our emotions get the best of us because we ride really hard these fandom waves. And I'm talking about politics as well, because it seems like it's all about being a fan of someone. Like, do you have anything else to do, sir, ma'am? You don't have anything to do. So this is going to be your life? We're not meant to be aware of what's happening around the world 24/7. What's happening right now in this moment in your life that you can see, hear, and feel, that is what's really happening. Everything else is just you trying to engage in the bullshit. And you're not really creating any change. Now, it doesn't mean that you cannot participate in, you know, changing certain things by, you know, uniting with other people or joining groups and stuff like that. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you just writing on Twitter or insulting people on Facebook is just not going to make a difference. So focus your energy on what you really want to do. Like, for example, the Britney movement started because of a voicemail that somebody received from a podcast, and it became like a worldwide thing where people were like pressuring for the judges and the laws to see why is a conservatorship for a woman that has not been declared, you know, incapable of, you know, running her life. Why is that put on her, and what's behind it? And why, when you break it down, you can see that there was a lot of things that don't make sense, and the procedures were not followed, and it's implied that a lot of people got paid under the table. A lot of people got rich off of someone who's supposed to not be capable to run her life, yet she was touring and making TV appearances, making new music and having shows, but she's so not capable, yet a lot of people were fed by her. Now, it doesn't mean that you're just going to go online and trash, you know, the judges. You're not doing anything. What you can do is carry the conversation, keep the conversation going. You know, go to where they were having the courthouse or whatever, where they were talking about it, and be present and be vigilant about it if you really want to see her free or create some change. And some laws were passed. But I'm not doing anything sitting down, just writing posts about her and insulting everybody. You can bring awareness to a situation and ask people to, like they did, the Britney movement did that. They would ask people, hey, sign here, or just share this information, or make sure to show up, make sure to, you know, march with us and all that. That's doing something active. That's doing something that may create change and act change. And it went on for years before they took the movement seriously, because they, you know, James Spears kept saying that it was just it was fake news when it wasn't. But Britney couldn't say anything because she was under this conservatorship and she was being drugged against her will and all that. You can look it up, Britney movement. Hey, so it's about doing. Stop the complaining and start doing. If you really don't like a candidate, do something about it. Spread the awareness. Join a group. Do not an extremist group, please. Just join a group and do something. If you feel like your freedom is threatened, then you can join, let's say, groups that support LGBTQIA plus people, and, you know, donate your time, donate your money, donate your resources. That's how you show up for others. It's not about you sitting down in your home comfy or your apartment and just writing, you know, nasty comments. You're not getting anywhere with that, or just starting fights. That's at that point, you're doing it for yourself because you're bored. You're a troll. He says, you don't need to blame your parents for teaching you to be like them. What else could they teach you but what they know? He says, it's time to be free. It's time to free yourself from the judge by changing the foundation of your own agreements. It's time to be free from the role of the victim. So he says that we are in agreement with the book of law, which is what your parents teach you. And then there's a judge and then there's a victim. And when you do something that you feel like it's wrong, you go into the victim mode, and then that helps the judge, which is the voice of your parents, to make you feel even worse. So you perpetuate what they gave you. And obviously you didn't know better when you were a child and you were basically accepting these agreements. And parents don't know better, because it's not about your parent. If you ask your parents about their lives, you're going to see a lot of similarities, what they went through when they were kids with what you went through when you were a kid. There may be some changes, but it's the foundation's still the same. And it's because when they had their parents and they were younger, same or worse things happened. So it's just a modern version of what happened. And it's not their fault, but you can hold them accountable. But the thing about it is that people are going to give you what they can, or people are going to give you what they're willing to give you, or people are just going to give you whatever they want to give you. And we have to accept either of those statements, because sometimes we believe, oh, no. If I do this, that, or the other, they'll give me more. No, they're not. If they're not showing you right now and you're not having a conversation about what you need or what you want, nobody's giving you anything. We engage in the fantasy that I am so worthy, somebody's going to see it and they're going to do X, Y, and Z. Absolutely not. Just put your feet on the ground. Ground your ideas and yourself and understand that everybody's operating from pain. That doesn't mean that we're going to excuse behaviors or actions. It just means that you have to understand that not everything revolves around you, and you are the first person who should give yourself what you need, instead of expecting, you know, Kevin from the block to give you something that he cannot even give himself. And that's how we create drama and conflict. And again, I'm talking about it because I have gone through it. I realize it. And there's a bunch of episodes where I expose my own stuff so that you know how you can clear your own stuff if you're willing or able to engage in that conversation. He says, The freedom we're looking for is the freedom to be ourselves, to express ourselves. And I love the fact that throughout the book, he uses the word domesticated, because it's true. When you see children, they are free. They don't give two fucks about what you think. You know, up to a certain age, they just do whatever they want. They're very curious. They explore. And that's how they learn. But then the parents come, society comes, culture comes, religion comes, and, you know, school comes, and they try to domesticate the child in a way that makes them feel guilty all the time for trying to be themselves. So, of course, we need a set of rules to function in society, but there's never the other side where we can be comfortable being ourselves and free and without hurting other people or without breaking laws, without having to do things that may come off as you have no sense of reality. And I think that because we want our children to fit in society, sometimes some parents may go even harder on some because they want them to succeed. And that's that tough love that, you know, they think it children are going to learn one day. And some adults do internalize that after, you know, being you know, maybe when they're parents and they say, oh yeah, when I was younger, I was, you know, a little shit. So that's good that my parent did that. True. But also that created a wound in you. And so again, it's not about your parent being a bad parent or your mom and dad being bad people. It's just about understanding that they did something and they're the consequences of what they did. Now it's up to you to deal with them, and you can no longer go back and ask for a refund. You cannot go back and, you know, tell them off, because that's not going to help you in the process. It's just going to perpetuate and create more pain. Some people do believe that you have to go back and fight it out one last time. I don't think that's the case. It's just you wanting to feel better and, you know, be aggressive or passive aggressive to somebody that hurt you. So anything you have to say, you can tell it to yourself and you can deal with it. You never have to feel like you cannot heal because you cannot go back and tell the people what you really think. So he says the first step toward personal freedom is awareness, which we've talked about a lot on A New Earth, on Yesterday I Cried, and also The Power of Now. So go check those out. He says, there are three masteries that lead people to become Toltecs. Remember, he's coming from his own experience as somebody from that culture. He says, the first is the mastery of awareness. The second is the mastery of transformation. And the third is the mastery of intent. Which I don't want to get into that too deep, because I want to make sure that you guys get the book and read it, but it's very interesting. So he says, the Toltecs believe that the parasite, which is, you know, the wounds, the ego, all that, the judge, the victim, and the belief system has control of your mind. So again, the Book of Law exists, which are the agreements that we unconsciously accept. And then he says there's parasites that are the judge, the victim, and the belief system. So, and inside of them, there's a bunch of agreements that we engage in. And the whole point is for us to look at each head of the parasite, like there's a bunch of heads, and then we have to kill each head little by little so that we can become free from those agreements that are just opinions from other people. And he is very adamant about us becoming a warrior and being a rebel and saying no and declare the war against that parasite as they come. And he says, choosing this path gives us, at the very least, the dignity of rebellion and ensures that we will not be the helpless victims of our own whimsical emotions or the poisonous emotions of others. So obviously, again, you know, when you go through your teenage years, you begin to question things. There's the rebellion era. You're hormonal, and you want to like go against the system. You know, like Rage Against the Machine. Oh my God, I love that. A couple of songs from them, but you know, it's about going against the grain, going against the system, and, you know, finding yourself in that chaos or what you perceive as chaos, because the order has been given to you, as in, this is what you do, this is how life goes, and this is la la la. And you're like, no, I don't want to do that. And in that process, people get pregnant when they're very young. In that process, people begin to experiment with drugs or alcohol, and they try to escape the order by bringing in chaos in their lives. And at some point, some of us get out of that phase, and then we just go back into the machine and say, okay, now I'm ready to basically do whatever y'all are doing, because I guess that's how life is. And you know, there's levels to rebellion, and one of the most powerful ones that I have discovered is the power of saying no, which is a full sentence. So when somebody says something or assumes something of you, ask you something, you know, expecting that you're going to say yes, saying no is very powerful. And the feeling of freedom that comes with that word is just mesmerizing when you have been told all the time that you have to do and say everything that, you know, you've been taught, and you don't get a chance to speak up, or you don't get a chance to think differently. And so some of us have learned to say no when we're pushed against the wall and there's no way out, and then it comes out as very angry and people don't take you seriously, and then they label you as mean and angry, when in reality is many, many years of having to do and say and keep your head down, having to just follow whatever they were telling you. And in that process of shaming, bullying, and blaming, we just, you know, became so tired that at some point we don't want to say yes, we want to say no. And to realize that we never actually said yes, coming from really from us. It was just us complying to whatever they said because we thought they were powerful. So your first no, that it doesn't come from you wanting to fight someone, or you wanting to engage in an argument, or you having that angry energy. Just saying no and fully stepping 10 toes down on that no, without flinching, without raising your voice, without even moving one inch of your body, is just so powerful and satisfying. And I love that word. So the power of no, it's something that we really need to talk about. And we really need to become aware of when we really want to say no and we end up saying yes, or we never say yes and we end up complying. And that's because of our emotional attachments to certain people, and obviously the inner child is running the show trying to please mommy and daddy. No is an amazing word, and you get to use it. It's your own free will, and you can use it anytime, any place. It doesn't mean that the relationship has to end, unless the relationship was just one-sided and somebody was getting something from you. And when you stop giving that, whatever you were giving to them, by saying no, then that tells you that that person wasn't there for you. They were there for themselves. So that's a great blessing. Don't ever confuse people leaving your life as, oh, I did something wrong. Instead, oh, they were here for something, and now that I'm changing and stepping into my power, all of a sudden, nobody wants to deal with me. Good, I don't need people. And it's not about being lonely. It's about being alone. But you're great. You are your great company. You should be your best friend. Because then you don't attract people who are looking to take advantage of you. You're attracting people who are comfortable having a conversation with you. And if they choose to leave, there is nothing personal. It's all business. So let's keep going. So he says that God is always present and the kingdom of heaven is everywhere. But first we need to have the eyes and ears to see and hear the truth. And we need to be free of the parasite, which means we face our fears one by one, stare them in the face, or we just starve them to death, which is obviously what I've been talking about, the healing journey, and how we can use every single trigger that presents themselves in our lives as a learning experience. It's not going to come out just naturally. It's just a muscle you have to build, and something we have to learn by repetition, so that when the same trigger comes around masked as something else, we just go ahead and say, oh, I know you. Hi, happy to see you again. Let me deal with you. Instead of us, you know, going inward and not knowing what to do and being the victim of our circumstances, the trigger wins, we lose, the parasite has space, and our real selves, again, becomes numb. So once we have engaged in the dream, which is, you know, the agreements that we have been told, we have a chance as adults to engage in a new dream. And this one is where you choose what to believe and what not to believe. And again, we're going to start always from what we were told, because that's the information we have, we hold. And then from there, you begin to dismantle every single thing. Because what you believe today, you're not necessarily going to believe in tomorrow. But you have to understand that how you live in your mind is very important. And those beliefs are constantly bouncing around your head. And if you have been brought up to think that you're not enough, you have to find someone, you need to be perfect, but nobody ever defined perfection for you, or it's not even something that it's possible, or you have been following the advice of people who are very unhappy yet successful, or who only think about money, or only think about things, or only think about people as a means to an end, then you have to revisit whatever they told you and understand that, yes, that's their experience. You have to separate yourself. Yes, that's their experience. That's their opinion. That's theirs. We don't have to internalize and accept it completely. We can listen to them, but we can make our own choices at the end of the day. So he says, for every agreement you break that makes you suffer, you will need to replace it with a new agreement that makes you happy. So again, death is always needed of an idea so that a new idea is born. So the story that he talked about in the beginning of the little girl that was singing, and then the mom came home, she was upset and she was tired, and she told the little girl something that was false. She said, "You have an ugly voice, stop singing." And the little girl grew up to a woman that not only wouldn't sing, but she wouldn't speak up. So once you break that agreement and say, I can sing, I am able, I am capable, and I love my voice, you go ahead and replace that agreement and begin to do what your new agreement says. So she says that she began to sing again, and she would picture people clapping for her and saying how wonderful your voice is. It's not for her to inflate her own ego, it's for her to find her voice again. And that is a great example of, you know, when we say our parents didn't know better, and that's true. I don't think that every single thing we say or we do or how we behave, we're in constant awareness of, especially when you're a parent, in constant awareness of how is this going to impact my child? What I am saying, doing, or how I'm behaving, it's going to come out for them in a way. And I don't know if I should explain myself or not, or what's the impact, what they're thinking, what they're feeling. So there's a lot of that. And obviously, again, before having a child, you have to really think about that responsibility, because it's another human being coming into your life, and it's he or she, they are going to depend on you. So repetition is what makes you the master of things. And again, when something presents itself, if you begin to really create a new foundation and clean the old one, you're going to step into your power and face whatever comes in a way that you're going to learn from it. Instead of thinking about the healing journey or the journey itself as a means to an end, or a place where you shouldn't repeat reactions because you already dealt with that. If you think about it that way, you're setting yourself up for failure. What you should really think about is, I want to really get to know myself, and I know that there are triggers that are around me that are going to assist me on getting the information I need to know how I'm operating, how this machine is operating, what the information is stored in my brain and body. And so when something comes up that you thought you had dealt with, you say, oh, okay, nice to see you again. Let me deal with you and let me see why this is still bothering me. So there's a deeper layer that always can be uncovered if you're willing and open to that idea. He says, every day we awake with a certain amount of mental, emotional, and physical energy that we spend throughout the day. If we allow our emotions to deplete our energy, we have no energy to change our lives or to give to others. And this is the discipline of the warrior, controlling your own behavior. And that's why it's important for us to own up to the things we do and say. It doesn't mean that you're guilty or you should be ashamed or you should be blamed all the time. It just means that I was the one who did it. It's not about what happened outside of me. Yes, that could have triggered something, but I get to choose how I respond so that I am able to live a life that is not as heavy and burdened, if that makes sense. He says, the human mind is exactly like this description of infected skin. Every human has an emotional body completely covered with infected wounds. Each wound is infected with emotional poison, and the poison of all emotions that makes us suffer, such as hate, anger, and envy, and sadness. So if something happens, again, the emotional body or the pain body, if something happens that triggers you, it's about your emotion, your emotional state of being. And it's not, we shouldn't minimize things. On the surface, it looks one way, but underneath it all, there's something else. So we have to look at what's underneath, not at what just happened only. And we take a lot of our experiences in life, the painful ones especially, for granted, because we don't want to feel more pain. So we just try to dismiss it or hide it. Because it's like, oh my God, we are already living in pain and we get used to living in pain, but we cannot accept more pain. Therefore, we don't want to look at our pain. And that's how we stunt our growth. He says, first, we need the truth to open the emotional wounds, take the poison out and heal the wounds completely. How do we do this? We must forgive those who we feel have wronged us, not because they deserve to be forgiven, but because we love ourselves so much, we don't want to keep paying for the injustice. He says, forgiveness is key. You will know you have forgiven someone when you see them and you no longer have an emotional reaction. The truth is like a scalpel. The truth is painful because it opens all the wounds which are covered by lies so that we can be healed. And in our times of survival, we created these lies because we needed to survive. And at some point, it makes sense because we have to survive. But once we are out of the environment, that dangerous environment, emotionally dangerous or mentally dangerous, whatever it is for you, once we're out of it, now we have to really take responsibility and say, okay, how do I get rid of these lies, begin to see the truth, and again, forgive. It's not about them. Forgiveness was never about them. It's not for us to say, oh, they're off the hook, they will never pay. Even if you don't forgive them, what are you doing? That's not them not paying. You either choose to have a relationship with them or not. And if you don't forgive them, and you choose to have a relationship with them still, I think that is one of the dumbest things we do, because we're contradicting ourselves. Okay, I already have a low opinion about you. You hurt me and I'm holding this against you. I'm still going to have a relationship with you. We need to do better than that. So letting go of them so that we can deal with what's going on in us, it's the most important thing. But because we live in denial and because we are willing to trade our pain for relationships, we don't want to see what's really happening and we just want to keep those people around. And they are reinforcing the idea that we deserve to live in pain, and they are reinforcing the idea that we are not enough and we need them. You don't need anybody. Anybody. You don't need anybody. And I think that we don't say that enough. He says, we must learn to control the emotions so we have enough personal power to change our fear-based agreements, escape from hell, and create our own personal heaven. So are your emotions in charge or are you in charge? Who is in charge? Somebody's in charge. And you need to take full responsibility because everything is coming from you. So hell and heaven, these ideas, he says that they're just in your mind. You can create your own personal hell or your own personal heaven. And it's about engaging in practices that are going to uplift you, help you grow, understand what's really going on, feel the feelings of pain, stop the suffering and drama that's going to help you create the heaven you really want to live, not wait for you to die. So some people do think that you have to suffer throughout life. Like, I'm not, no joke, I've met these people, and they do believe that they're doing amazing work. And they say, oh, yes, I have to suffer through life. So when I die, so people can take advantage of me, people can use me, people can cheat on me and I have to stay, people can do whatever they want. I suffer in silence. I may complain sometimes, but I suffer in silence. I never create change. And then when I die, I know heaven is on the other side. Okay. He says, we become aware that we can die at any moment. We have just the present to be alive. And this is a part of the chapter that says, embracing the angel of death. So nothing belongs to us. That's very hard for some people, but it's true. Nothing belongs to us. And it's in that discovery and accepting that we know that everything comes and goes, people, places, things. They are just borrowed for a while. He says here, I can have one more day to myself. So every time you wake up, one more day to myself, and then I can just enjoy the day. Why? Because tomorrow is not promised. We do believe that we have until we're 60, 70, or 80, because our parents, you know, our families, usually the women, you know, lived up until, no, we don't. You can die tonight. It's not because I want you to live in fear of dying or somebody you love dying. It's because I want you to be aware of how fast life goes and how vulnerable we are and how fragile things are in our lives. And if you don't enjoy this moment, pay attention to this moment, you will regret it. He says, what if I had a big fight with you and I told you all those emotional poisons that I have against you and you die tomorrow? And he says, that's when the judge and the victim come to play. And all of a sudden, we become the victim of our own circumstances. Like the coulda, woulda, shouldas come up. And all of a sudden, we're engaging again in something that it just doesn't matter anymore because it's gone. It doesn't mean that your feelings are not valid, but we need to be proactive instead of passive. He says, the angel of death comes to us and says, you see, everything that exists here is mine. It's not yours. Your house, your spouse, your children, your car, your career, your money, everything is mine and I can take it away when I want to. But for now, you can use it. So for now, you can use it, but it's going to be gone anytime. So enjoy it. Again, this is not about you living in fear. This is not about you being, oh my God, you know, in survival or high alert. It's just about you being aware that nothing is yours. Even the child that you have right now at home, if you're a parent, it's not yours. Nothing is yours. Enjoy it while you can. Tomorrow may be a different situation. And then when that happens, some people say, oh my God, I remember yesterday. I wish I had a couple more hours, but you don't. It's over. So engaging in that is just going to perpetuate the victim mentality. But if you really are present, and that's why the power of now is so powerful, if you really are present in this moment and take all your attention towards, you know, what's happening right now, no regrets. And if you say, oh, well, I haven't spoken to, then go call them. Like there shouldn't be anything that you're not able to do. And if people have died already and you're still boohooing about it, do something about it. Write them a letter. Yeah, they're not going to get it, but it's not about them hearing it only. It's about you expressing how you really feel. It's about you getting it all out so that you make space for something new. It's about you grieving properly. It's about taking action constantly. And if you feel stuck, that's okay. But know that action has to come at some point. If not, if you get stuck, all you're going to see in your life is being stuck. Everything's stuck. Nothing is moving. Because it's not about life pleasing you or people doing something for you. It's about you. You get to choose. And this is very scary. You have the power. It's all up to you. And it may feel like a burden if you are doing 1,000 things today and you're still living in pain. But that's the only way. The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, A Practical Guide to Personal Freedom. Go get the book. You already know all the books. You already know what it is. It's time to take responsibility. A Toltec Wisdom book. And with that, I say till next time. Bye.